Good report. We have heat in the building. Yeah, praise the Lord. That was a learning experience on a lot of levels. I won't go into it. Brenton, thank you. Brenton, man. I'm going to testify a little bit, but I can be a control freak. I'd like to have all my ducks in the row, and they need to be in size order and in color coded. And there are sometimes I'm just smart enough to say, help. Could you help and take it and run with it? And Brenton coordinated with, we were a little pain in the neck, though. It's okay. We were fess up with the company that got us our unit, and they were, hallelujah, blessed. Amen. Let's leave it at that. Praise the Lord. It was so funny. Okay, praise God. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you. You are incredibly and awesome. Great is your love. Great is your love that you have for us, that you pour into us, that you see us with greatness. I thank you for the wonderful plans that you have for everybody in this place, Father. And we thank you for your word that will help us, that we declare that we can see, and we will take it and be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. So we're doing a little mini-series, just 2 weeks on a mini-series called Don't Feed the Wild Animals. It's on the top of your sheet here, Don't Feed the Wild Animals. And last week we talked about don't feed bitterness. Bitterness can be a wild animal in your heart. And what was the antidote for bitterness? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And the sorry, terrible thing about having bitterness in your heart is it stops you. It stops you from going places that God has for you. It just makes you really miserable, right? So the antidote is forgiveness and amen. That's what we talked about last week. Today we're going to talk about the wild thing called pride. P-R-I-D-E, pride. And today we're going to learn how to not feed pride. Not feed pride. And when we talk about the wildlife, we're referring to our body. Okay, it's not a dog, it's not a bear, it's not a lion, it's our body, all right? And now, let me say this. When we accept Jesus Christ, raise your hand if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. When you accept him into your life, man, things happened, okay? You became a new creature, and actually, you became new on the inside. Your spirit became alive and new, and you became a part of God's family. Those are all the things that happened, and really, you don't see that. You don't see what happened in the spirit realm when you received Jesus. Now, some things didn't change. If you weighed 300 pounds after you met Jesus, you will still weigh 300 pounds after, okay? Before and after. Your body didn't change. My thinking didn't change. And let me tell you, I had a lot of stinking thinking. That didn't change, okay? But the real me, the spirit of me, changed, okay? But this stuff, and we call that our flesh, we call that the sin nature, you'll see it written in the Bible that way, okay, that has all kinds of junk in it. Anybody had junk in your flesh, your thinking? Man, okay, I definitely did, and I'm still working on it, okay? Now, but even though I am a new creature, I have been changed. I have life. I'm God's child. Okay, I still got gunk, all right? And we're going to talk about some of the gunk, and this is called pride. We're going to talk about pride today. Now, we're going to talk about this thing called pride, and what I hope to do is give you an understanding on how to starve pride. Pride's a wild animal, and you don't want to feed it. We want to starve it. Say amen. Smile at me. Or you still got turkey comatose going on, huh? Oh, man, it was so good. Man, it was good. Turkey was good. All righty. So today we're going to learn how to starve pride. Now, at the top of your page, it says, don't feed pride. And the main thought, you see that part? This is the big idea. This is what I want you to understand and know more than anything else when you walk out of here. What does it say? Pride is your greatest enemy. Underline enemy. Pride is your greatest enemy, and the good part is humility is your greatest friend. All righty. So Think about any enemies you've ever had in your life. Anybody ever have some enemies in your life? For most of us, they probably weren't so bad. You know, we probably had some words, you know, especially in the schoolyard growing up or something like that. And maybe you're here and you've had some big enemies in your life, okay? But for the most of us, you know, how about as a nation? Do we have any enemies as a nation? Oh, baby, we sure do, right? So you guys understand what an enemy is, right? You all understand what an enemy is? So, though the interesting thing as a Christian, raise your hand if you're a believer, you're a Christian, you're a follower, you have an enemy, right? And his name is Satan or the devil, okay? And he really hates you. He hates you because God redeemed you. God made you then in his image. God put his life in you. You are a little Jesus running around. And the enemy, Satan, really hates you. Now, as much as the enemy, Satan, hates you, pride is a bigger enemy. Pride is a really worse enemy because, you know, ISIS, the enemy for our nation, and Satan, they're all external. They're out here. But pride is something that's internal. It's the wild animal. It's internal, okay? So pride is internal. Now, the problem with pride is it actually blinds you. Most people that are in super pride, does anybody know one person who's knee-deep in pride? Don't point. Anybody know anybody that's just full of themselves, right? They're not here. We are just perfect, right? Okay. The problem with people with pride is they're blinded and they can't see. They're walking off, falling into cliffs, crash and burn, crash and burn, crash and burn. They don't see they're in pride because pride blinds you. And let me tell you, I have walked off some cliffs and had crash and burn because of pride in my life. Yep. And probably you did too. Okay. So pride is our greatest enemy, but we have a great friend. Now, how many of you have some good friends? Okay, well, humility is the greatest friend that we have. Because again, humility is internal. It's something that's in here, okay? And we want to learn how to starve the pride and get the internal humility out. So that's what we're going to talk about, all right? Now, the cool thing about humility, when you are letting this humility that's in you be released by God, or excuse me, you let this humility come out of you, God releases blessings on you. God dumps blessings on you. So why wouldn't you want to walk in humility? I mean, I am a glutton for blessings. Gimme, 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 blessings, blessings. So the way you release that is you walk in humility. So today we're going to talk about the difference between pride and humility. Alrighty? Now, this is me personally. I think it's impossible for you to understand how severe, how bad, how terrible pride is. I think it's just impossible unless you understand its roots, unless you understand how it started. All right. Otherwise, you're like, oh, pride. Yeah, I know a little bit about that. Now, I noticed in my life as a new believer, I would read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the way down to Revelations. I'd read that and I'd get understanding, but most of my understanding I would get was going on intellectually, okay? Because I didn't understand a lot of the history of the Bible. I didn't understand a lot of the roots of the Bible. And the best way, really the way to understand the history and the roots is to go to the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So you got to get in there. Now, I think you and I have to understand the roots of pride. And let me just tell you a story. Because if you don't have an understanding of the roots and the history of where this comes, it's just going to be shoo, shoo, shoo. So story. Here we go. This summer, after Sherry's wedding, I was wiped out. Little stressed out that my happy face wasn't on the whole thing. It's stressful having weddings, okay? But the bride was beautiful, the groom was handsome, and they had a blast. So therefore, the day after, my daughter Joy and I hightailed it out of York County to the beach. Oh, man. So people would say, sorry, Sherry, but are you excited about the wedding? I'm excited about the beach. Because this was like my third girl getting married, and you know, so I was a little smart. So anyway, Joy and I finally hit the beach, and But the third day, we were only going for three days, but the second day we were kind of crispy critters, so we decided to leave the beach early, and we went to see a movie. And I don't go to the movies that often. I don't know, my life just kind of gets busy. But Joy, I went with Joy, and Joy's husband, his name is Eric. Joy and Eric are avid moviegoers. I mean, if you want to know about a movie, they'll tell you. They just go. I don't even want to know what they spend to go to all the movies, okay? So we're going to go to the movies, and Eric is not with us. Eric had to stay in California. He was doing his master's, and he said, Joy, you've got to take your mom to Tarzan. I was like, oh, okay, Tarzan, yay. And he's like, you got to go see it. Your mom's going to love it. So we go to an early showing, and there's probably six people in the theater. I don't know if that was because the movie wasn't going to be that good, or, you know, we were just, everybody's soaking it up at the beach. So we're there at the movie, and, you know, we watched the movie, and I thought it was really good because I think guys running around in their underwear swinging from trees is amazing, you know. What? Just, sorry. She's so spiritual, my pastor. Okay. Anyway, so we go, I enjoyed the movie, and we get home, and Eric calls us from California. Eric had actually seen the movie before, and so he calls us, and he goes, Dee, did you like the movie? I said, yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was good. He says, did you really like it? I said, yeah, it was good. I said, but, you know, I didn't understand this king. I can't understand why this king of Oprah or whatever just really hated Tarzan. And he goes, oh, well, that's because Tarzan killed his son, and this happened, and that happened, and this happened. Well, what I came to find out is Eric read all of the Tarzan. There's like 24 books when he was in junior high and high school. And he knew the beginning of Tarzan, the middle of Tarzan, the end of Tarzan. He knew the whole story and he was into it. And I really think Eric enjoyed the movie more than I did because Eric knew the history, the roots. So, guys, that was my funny story to get you all awake. And you have to understand the roots of pride if you're going to understand how much God hates it and what it'll do in your life. So in order to do that, we're going to talk about creation. We're going to go back and talk about when God created all the angels. All right? And I'm not going to give you references, but let me just go for this. God created all the angels, and he created three superstars. Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Michael was called the general. He's actually like the commander of all the angel armies, okay? That's Michael. The next one God created is one of his archangels, you know, the superstars, is Gabriel. Gabriel's the messenger angel, right? He's kind of like the commander of communications. And he tells all the angels, the ministering spirits that go from the throne of God to go minister to us. So he's the head of communications there. Okay, and then God created, the last one is Lucifer. And Lucifer was created to lead worship, right? Y'all know that? Okay, he's actually the worship leader. High five, isn't that cool? He's the worship leader. Okay, now, in Ezekiel 28, you go, guys, go and read that this week. Read it out of like the Message Bible or the New Living, okay? Do not read this out of the King James. There's just a lot of things going on. Just read it out of a real simple, but I'm going to give you the short story, D. Cashman, really short. So in Ezekiel 28, it says, God created Lucifer, and God said about Lucifer, he's my most perfect creation. All right? He's the most beautiful thing I've created. He is perfect in all his ways. That's what God says in Ezekiel about Lucifer. Okay? So God has just made this most magnificent creature called Lucifer. He's an angel. He's an archangel. So we've got Lucifer. He's leading worship. He's the worship leader. And he's really, actually, Lucifer knows he's pretty incredible. Like every time he walks by a mirror, he goes, you like, I'm so cool? Uh-huh. Lucifer's got a problem going on now, right? And this is what the Bible says about him. This is what God says about him in the Bible. In Ezekiel, he says, because of your beauty, because of your perfection, because of the success of everything you put your hand in, it says iniquity was born in his heart. Iniquity, by the way, that's not a good thing, all right? Iniquity was born in his heart. And you could say then that pride was born. Okay, that's when pride was born. So that's not a good thing. So listen, we need to understand how pride can come into our life, all right? Because if when you understand what the Bible, what God says about it, and how strong God is against pride, and how strong God is against us having pride in our life, because God has seen it, and you'll see it, and you probably have already seen it, pride will destroy you. It will destroy your life. So God is really passionate about that. Now, would you turn over to Isaiah 14? Isaiah 14. They'll pop it on the screen for you, okay? God does not want us to have this thing called pride in our life. Isaiah 14. Look what happens in Isaiah 14. Verse 13. You, this is Lucifer, you, Lucifer, said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. Now, wait a minute. Notice all the times, this is Lucifer talking. He says, I will. Okay, now I'm going to read it again. Here we go. You, Lucifer, said in your heart, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly and on the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High God. We got a problem here, right? Lucifer's saying, listen, I am going to be greater than God. I am going to kick God off of his throne, right? I am so beautiful. I am so perfect. I'm going to take God's throne. That's what Lucifer's saying. Now, of course, you know the rest of the story. It's in verse 15. It says, but you were brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pits. And that's when there was a battle in heaven. And let me tell you, it wasn't a long, drawn out thing. God sends Michael on the scene. He throws Lucifer out, and he throws one third of the angels out that followed Lucifer. Okay? God always wins, by the way. So right there, you see the roots of pride. And pride shows up as arrogance, haughtiness, and a whole bunch of other ways. Pride, you know, just isn't, I'm going to throw you off the throne. It shows up because you guys aren't going to heaven to do that. But pride will show up in a whole bunch of different ways. But the root of pride is when we say, hey, I'm going to run my life. Did you hear what Lucifer said? I'm going to run my life. I don't need you, God. Right? Or how about when we read something in our Bible? Because you all got in the Word every morning, get up there, and you read something in your Bible, and you go, oh, no, God, I don't want to do that in my life. All right? Listen, that's the roots of pride, because it's you throwing God off the throne, all right? And pride will destroy your life. Praise God. No, Pastor D, don't praise God. That's terrible. All right. So we're going to talk about how to starve pride. And it's really simple, guys. It's not really complicated. But listen, think about that story about Lucifer. That story about Lucifer and how his pride just took over him. Listen, God hates that. God hates that his most perfect creation was thrown out of heaven. God hates it because one third of the angels were lost because of pride. God hates pride because look what it did. All right. And God hates pride because if it gets in your life, it starts destroying you. Now, turn over to Proverbs, would y'all? Proverbs 8:13. Listen to Proverbs 8:13. Everybody say, God hates pride. Man, he does. Okay, Proverbs 8:13. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance. So God, what? Hates pride and arrogance. Now, pride is the root. Arrogance is the way it shows up. Now, I will say it shows up a lot of other ways, but in this particular verse, it's just saying arrogance, okay? So God hates it. And so it says, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Now, just think about it. Hate is a pretty strong language, right? Hate's pretty strong. I hate pride and arrogance. Now, think about something you guys hate. Think about something you really hate. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story about something I hate. Okay, I am not perfect. Okay, I hate incompetent drivers. Oh my gosh. That don't use their turn signal. Man. Like, I don't know how many times I'm almost smashed in their rear ends, okay? And I hate incompetent drivers on highways. So, I want you to get the flavor and the passion that God has towards hate with my story, okay? So, a month ago, Joy was here, and I took she and Eric back to the airport, to BWI, and I'm driving back, and I'm finally on 83 North, and it's a two-lane highway. Everybody know 83 North. It's a two-lane highway, and I'm in the right lane, and the speed limit is, yes. Okay, so there's this guy, and I'm in the right lane, and there's this guy in the right lane in front of me going 63 miles an hour. And I'm going 68, because I believe there's grace. The grace of God. May say 65, but it's the grace of God. You hit 70, grace is over with. So I'm going 68, and behind this guy who's going 63 miles. So I decide I'm going to get in the left lane. Now, boys and girls, the left lane is for passing. Say that again. The left lane is for passing, all right? You get in the left lane. You never stay in the left lane except for passing. Okay, so I get in the left lane, and I'm going 68. Okay, but there's a car that's already, actually what had happened, this car was in front of the guy that's going 63, and he's got the same thing going, and he decides to get in the passing lane, the passing lane, the lane you only get into when you want to pass. Okay, so this guy's in front of me in the passing lane, and I'm like, okay, good, I'm going to go get behind him, because we're in the passing lane, we're going to pass the guy who's only going 63 miles an hour. So I get behind the guy in the left lane who's, and he does this. He starts synchronizing driving with the guy in the right lane. So I'm like, okay, now, because I know we don't ride people's bumpers. That's dangerous, boys and girls. Okay, so I'm not. So I'm back off, about 5 car lengths. But, I've got my foot. So I'm sitting there in the left lane, behind the guy in the left lane, who's supposed to be passing the guy in the right lane, who's decided that they're going to do synchronized driving. Okay? And I'm not on his bumper, so I do the flash. Your high beams. Flash, 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 flash. Because that tells you, come on, buddy. Okay, but you know what? He's still doing the synchronized driving, and I am getting so angry. Oh my God! Hitting the my poor steering wheel. Okay, so I'm hitting the steering wheel. I am just so angry that I'm like, okay, he'll move over. It feels like 10 minutes later. I don't know how long it was. The guy in the right lane gets off the exit. I'm still in the left lane behind the synchronized driver. And I'm like, praise God, he'll move over. He'll move over. He'll move out. He doesn't. My gosh. I'm really ticked about that. So I go to the right lane to pass him. Play the guy that's in. Okay. And I get to the right lane, and I thought, I'm going to do a little synchronized driving right now. I look at this guy on the left. Now, I know there's certain hand languages that, as a pastor, you don't use. So I'm mouthing. And I zoom off. Okay. So, just wanted you to know what anger is like, okay? Whew. Okay, think about anger, okay? Think about things you hate. All right, and aren't you glad that I am not God? Yeah, because I would have had lightning bolts on those cars. Like, praise God, I was so angry. Praise God, I am so glad. I am so glad that God is not destroying us when we do things that he hates. Amen. We have a good God. He does. He's very merciful. But I want you to see, God hates pride. He hates it. Okay. Now, why does God hate pride? Why does God hate pride? Because it destroyed one of his most perfect creatures, and it will destroy you. And you are precious. You are so valuable. And God's got good things for you, and it will destroy your lives. So look over at Proverbs 11:2 now. Listen to this one. Proverbs 11:2. I'm reading out of the New Living. Yours translation might read it a little differently, but here goes. Pride leads to disgrace, but humility comes with wisdom. That's pretty good. I like that one. See the word pride? See the humility in there? Okay, now jump over to Proverbs 16, a couple chapters later. Proverbs 16:18. You ready? I love to hear pages in a service. Oh, my gosh. So you guys that have cell phones, I can't hear them. All right, here you go. Here you go. You ready? Pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before a fall. Now, let me say this again. Pride is the root, but it shows up in a lot of different ways. Okay, pride's the root, but it'll show up in a lot of different ways. All right, so we've got pride and it's haughtiness. Have you ever been around someone who's just so full of themselves, so haughty? Yuck. Okay, it's just one of those ways pride just shows up. Now, when I was a new believer, and actually when we were just early on in ministry life, okay, I was not very mature. Yeah, you're not kidding. And I had an attitude, all right? I had an attitude, and this is my attitude, ready? If you weren't from my Christian camp... By the way, y'all pick camps. It happens, okay? But if you weren't in my Christian camp, I just couldn't receive from you. Man, Pastor D, you're bad. I know. Because, listen, if they don't believe what I believe, I'm not going to receive something from them. Oh, my gosh. Because they're not a part of my Christian camp. Okay, now I carried that for quite a few years. I really did. And then the Lord was dealing with me. He'd bring people in my life who were from different camps. Oh, my gosh. He'd bring people in my life that were of different camps. And I remember the Lord opening my eyes, and he said, "You are so haughty and prideful." You know, that could just make you crumble. So I was like, what? You know, and he's going like this, D, you don't know everything in the Bible. Your camp doesn't know everything in the Bible. And I have men of God. I have women of God that have knowledge and understanding that you need in your life. You need them. You need to listen to them. So it was actually a really quick change because I was a part of I've told this before. I was a part of Moms in Touch prayer group. And, there was only one lady from my camp in this ladies' prayer group, and the rest of the ladies were from different camps that I would go, you know, stick my nose up, okay? And I was so humbled by meeting these ladies in prayer. So what if they didn't know a couple things? But these ladies were sincere, and they loved God, and they didn't have a stinking attitude about me. They loved me, and I learned how to pray big and better, okay? So God started dealing with me in this attitude, and finally I said, all right, God, listen, God, don't you love when you start your sentence, listen, God? Like, you know, you laugh. I said, okay, God, I know what I believe, and I'm going to live what I believe, but I am going to receive from other men and women of God. Okay, so I started changing my attitude. And I want to tell you, it has changed me for the better. Okay, it has changed me as a pastor. You know, when I told you a couple weeks ago, I go to church on my computer after church, and I listen to men of God from some huge churches and just great churches. Two of them aren't of my camp. Yeah. And I want to tell you, I learned so much. I am better. So don't have an attitude, okay? And really what that was pride in my life. I had pride, and I didn't know because pride will blind you, and I'm walking off cliffs and crashing, burning, all right? Because pride will blind you, and it destroys your life. It keeps you stupid, really, it does. So anyway, I just wanted you to think about this thing called pride, and it destroys you. But those are all the problems. Sherry has a saying, Don't just tell me the problem. Give me the solution. People are always giving me the problem, and I'm like I didn't already know. Let's have the solution. So we're going to go to the solution. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. This is the solution to pride. This is the happy part, okay? And it's actually quite easy. All right, James 4, 6 through 8. I'm reading out of the New Living. He gives grace generously. As the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you, etc., etc., etc. So, guys, this is the solution. This is how you starve pride, okay? It says, verse 6, this is the answer right here. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So how do you starve pride? Humble, okay? Humble, all righty? Now, then it says, so humble yourself before God. So humble yourself before God. Now, let me back up and give you a little bit of background. This is the book of James. It's written by James. Yeah, you got to pass the test here, okay? It's written by James. James is Jesus' half-brother, okay? So he grew up with him. And then he finally received Jesus. And he's writing to Christians. Choking on my spit here. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to believers. He's writing to this group of church people. And he's writing to them because they got some not humbling themselves before God. All right? They're not humbling themselves before God. So what does it mean to humble yourself before God? Hit the floor, kiss feet? No, come on. What does it mean? All right. Now, remember what Lucifer did? This is your answer. Remember what Lucifer did? He says, I'm going to be on the throne of God. I'm going to kick God out. I'm so beautiful. I'm so perfect. I'm going to be on the throne of God. Okay? So when we humble ourselves before God, it's when we say, God, you are the creator. You created me. You know more than I know, and I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to lay my heart down of the throne of my heart, and I'm going to let you lead and be the boss. That's how you humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God, all right? Now, all you men, I know it's hard for men to do this humble thing. And I'm giving your excuse, okay, for 1 second. Because God created men to lead. It's their DNA. They are leaders, okay? They're the hunters. They go out and do that stuff. But you can either be a hard head and not be humble, or you can say, God, I let you be in control of my life. I humble myself and I let you lead my life. All right? So your excuse is over, just like mine. Alrighty. Now, how do we deal with pride? How do we starve it? Well, the scripture says, okay. So Pastor D, I kind of get this pride thing going and I want to starve it. I don't want to feed it. I don't want to feed the animal. So how do I do this? Well, one, get into the Word of God. Okay. So good. You're in the Word of God. You're reading it and you come across something. You go, oh, are you kidding me, God? I have to do that? God, you know, if I were God, I'd do this whole thing differently. And you know what God says? But then, no. But this is when you say, okay, God, I will live my life like you have said. Now I've just humbled myself before God. All right? So that's how you starve pride and get humility in there. Okay, how about this one? You know, you got this thing. Leslie and I were talking about a story here. Leslie, this is like perfect here. So you got this person at work, and God's just kind of picking on your heart. I want you to lay your life down for that person. And you want to go, are you kidding me? They are real stinkers in my life. And then you go, okay, God, I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to put that person first. How about I'm going to put my wife first? How about I'm going to put my husband first, okay? That's when you start humbling yourself. Because one of the ways we humble ourselves, we walk humbly, is we let other people go first. We put people before us. And I'm going to tell you, it's hard. It's hard, all right? But this is one of the biggest ways that we have humility. We walk humble before God is we let other people be first, okay? Be first. And you know, you can practice this. I didn't pass the test. I was just a little slow, but I was at Walmart and this lady in front of all the checkouts are really just full. And this lady before me, it looks like she's got two shopping carts. And so I ended up by getting in her lane and I've got a full shopping cart. And then there's this guy who comes up on the left of me and he's just carrying like a handful of groceries. I wasn't humble. You know, it would have been real easy just to practice humility there. I would have liked to say I was really dumb, but I realized, like, I've been waiting. Okay, humility would have said, hey, would you like to get in front of me? You know, it would have cost me all but 3 minutes, okay? So I probably have to do that one again, all righty? Now, how about, you get it. So one of the ways that we humble ourselves is we put people before ourselves. All right, back to James 4, verse 6. You looking at verse 6 here? James verse 6. Did you notice that God said, if you humble yourself, he will pour grace out on your life. If you decide you're going to humble yourself, God will pour grace out on top of you. Alrighty? So what's grace? Grace is incredible. Grace is incredible. Grace is blessings. Grace is God's ability on you and through you. So grace is really cool. Now, when we decide that this is the solution, guys. This is the solution for pride. When you decide that you're going to put other people first, you're going to prefer people, you're just going to sit back and let someone go ahead of you. Now, you're not going to be a rug that everybody just walks all over. This is God talking to your heart. But when you decide to prefer people, right then, God's blessings start coming through your life. God's pouring his blessings and he'll bless you in your life when you decide to put other people first. Okay. Now, by the way, this isn't a one and done deal. That's something you constantly work at. I constantly work at that guy at the checkout. I was like, all right. I am constantly learning and hearing to walk in humility. Okay. And praise God. I'm believing for God's grace to just direct me on that. All righty. Let's move on. Let's read to James 4:13. I'm going to read this to you, James 4:13. Okay. Look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay here a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what will happen? For your life is like a morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say, if the Lord wants us, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Guys, I used to read that scripture for years, and I just would breeze over it because it was just, I'll tell you what I thought. I thought God was saying, you need to make a bad confession. Okay, I thought God was saying, you're going to die. I thought God was saying, you're not going to prosper. I thought God was saying that you're going to die early, okay? I was thinking I was making a bad confession. And it just bothered me. So listen, guys, when you're reading something, this is just a little trivia side. When you're reading something and you're like, what is this? It means you probably don't have the answer and it's time to say, hey, God, open my eyes. Give me understanding. All right. So for years, I just quickly go over it. And then one day I realized, you know, I should probably ask God, God, can you open my eyes, give me understanding, reveal what this is all about. And I was actually listening to a person in another camp teach on this. I'm like, oh, you know, the angels are singing. I got it. All right. So Praise the Lord. So this is what I was understanding. This is what God was so upset about, this group. This is what God was so upset about. These people were making plans for their life. Okay, but they were not doing it. They were not submitting their plans to God. Now, I want to back up and say, you need to make plans for your life. You need to make plans for retirement. You need to make plans for kids going to college. You need to make plans how you're going to pay off your mortgage early. Okay, all right. Those are good things. And can I just say one thing? I received the Lord Jesus Christ 40 years ago, and we were of the thought realm that we don't have to make plans about someday dying because Jesus is going to come back and whip us up in the air with him. So I don't have to, you know, put aside some money if I die for a funeral. If I told you how many people of the generation that when I received Jesus were thinking that, and then all of a sudden they're 80, 90 years old, and they don't got no plans, okay? And it falls on their kids. So that's my 2 cents. I have plans now. I made plans, okay. So listen, God's okay. God's okay with making plans. He just wants you to say, hey, you know, don't control it. This is what he wants you to say. God, I've sought you. I've made this plan. This is what I want to do. I am submitting it to you. If there's anything there that's just not so good, show me. That is why when you've got big things going on in your life, what's the thing you should do? Not just jump in there and make plans. As you back up, you talk with your spouse, you get an agreement, and then you pray about it. Okay? There's very few decisions you have to make on the spot. And if you have a salesman that comes into your house, gosh, got suckered in one of those, and they're like, you have to make the decision right now. You need to spend $30,000 to put new windows in your whole house. You got to do this. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. I said, well, right then I was like, I don't have to make a decision on a spot. I need to go pray about this. He did not get that, and he left. Okay. And I do not have new windows in my house. Okay. But listen, here, this is what you do. God, I am submitting these plans to you. You are all knowing, you are smarter than I, and if this isn't cool with you, show me. Okay. And this is what, okay, this is saying, God, you are in control of my life. That's being humble, okay? That's being humble. But you guys should have some plans, okay? You should have some plans. And listen, what I have found out when I'm synchronized with God, we're driving along. No, not driving along. But, you know, when I'm making plans and I'm praying about plans, it's so incredible. I watch God show me things about problems that are going to come up. So I can miss them. Now, doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems. Anybody have some problems? It wasn't because I wasn't synchronized. But, you know, God will help me through. His grace will help me through, get through these things. But it's good to submit to God and get synchronized with him. Mm-hmm. Amen. That should be your new word. How many times this week can you use the word synchronized? Write that down. Okay. Now, probably for the most of you, you don't have mega pride going on in your life, right? Your wife, don't look at your wife. Husband, don't look. Okay. All right. But listen, there will be times all of us are going to deal with pride. It shows up in different ways. Okay. So we're going to deal with pride. And listen, if I can starve it, you can overcome it too. If I can starve pride, you can do that. Okay. I want to encourage you. This is our last scripture. Turn over to Proverbs. Ready? Proverbs 22:24. This is the solution with the cherry on top. You ready? Proverbs 22, verse 24. True humility and the fear of the Lord leads to riches, honor, and long life. You know, that sounds like the grace of God in your life. Guys, look at that. The grace of God in your life is riches, honor, and long life. Okay, so riches. What? Oh, 4? Did I put 24? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I am so humble. I receive correction. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, that has been a work in progress too. I'll tell you what. All righty. Riches, guys. Let me tell you about riches, okay? It doesn't mean you're all going to be billionaires. Okay, but it does mean that God's going to bless your finances, okay? Depending on where you are, that's part of the solution, the blessings. He'll bless your finances, okay, for whatever that looks like, all right? Now, honor. What's honor? Honor means you have a good name. You have a good name in your community. You have a good name at work. You have a good name in your family. Honor, all right? And, of course, you know what long life is, right? Do I have to tell you what long life is? Okay, good. Now, did you notice how riches and honors comes? Riches, honor, and long life comes? Through humility, right. It comes by starving pride and allowing humility in your life, walking humble, preferring other people. That's how you get all those things, all right? So pride is our greatest enemy. Humility is our greatest friend. Amen? Praise God. All right, just going to wrap up real here. Let me tell you something. Did you notice it said true humility and the fear of the Lord? That and connects them. That and connects them. Okay, so what is the fear of the Lord? It's not you're afraid God's going to throw lightning bolts on top of you. Okay, God's going to put sickness on you because you did something wrong. That's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is simply, God, you made me. Man, God, you made me. Praise God. God, you made me. And I love you that you have made me and saved me. I reverence you. I honor you. God, I love so much that I'm a part of your family that I submit to you. That's the fear of the Lord. Also, John Bevere has an excellent book. You ought to read it. Okay. But that's real simple, the fear of the Lord. All right. Now, so you have the fear of the Lord and true humility. True humility is us bowing our heart and saying, God, same thing. I give you control of my life. I lay my life down for people. That's true humility. And then God says, when you do that, riches, honor, and long life. Right? Did you see that? All right. So now I have to say this. This doesn't mean we're perfect, right? You were driving with me on the car. This doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. Guess what? God is in the growing business. Yeah. God is in the growing business. He likes to grow us. We are not perfect, okay? But when we make mistakes, when you act like super whatever, okay, and you go, oh my gosh, God, I am so sorry, I really blew it, and right there I am humbling myself, asking God to forgive me, and then as soon as you do that, the blessings start moving again in your life, okay? So again, I'm saying this, it's not that being humble you're perfect. We make it. It's just the attitude of your heart as you walk out life, all right? So praise God. So this is how we starve pride, right? This is how we starve pride. We become humble people, teachable people, easily corrected people, people who put other people before them first. That's how you starve pride, and that's how you get just blessings going through your life. All right, how about we pray? Everybody just want to close your eyes for a moment. Hallelujah. Father God, I thank you for opening our eyes this morning. I thank you for James 4. That really helped, Lord. I thank you that we are constantly making adjustments in our life, Lord, in our heart. We're making adjustments in our attitude, Lord. And I thank you that you are helping grow us up to be more like Jesus. Now, you know, this just take a moment right now. If there's an area that just through this message you've heard that, gosh, you know, I got some little pride going on here. If the Holy Spirit's just bringing that before you, not to slam you, but to help you. If that's, you know, he's just dealing with you. Just right now say, you know, God, you know, I really do have some pride here. And I need your help. Help me walk in humility. I don't want to be like this. Yep, let the Holy Spirit just, you know, just talk to you right now. Yeah, okay. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're the revealer, and I thank you that you stick to us like Velcro, and you just continue to show us areas where we have pride in our life this week and as we go upon our lives. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, everybody's still in an